Everyone, I want to get started a little early this morning. I want to finish, if I can. I know you're probably exhausted with chapters 15 and 16 of Revelation, but I want to try to get through that if I can today. So turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Let me know when you're there. Rusty's there. We're ready to go. Two.
Okay, well, she had this thing here, so I wanted to make sure.
Page 674.
Not in a hurry. Verses 485.
All right, here we go. Chapter 22 of 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bosrah. And he did that which was... Now, let me ask you something before I keep going. Why do you think it gave all those names?
That's the way they identified her.
Well, he gives you multiplicity of names because he wants you to realize these are real people, folks. These aren't Bible names. These were people, they'd no different than you or I. Yeah. They had the same background, the same heritage, the same families, you know, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers. So that's why he does that. Because sometimes we read the Bible as though it's someone different than us. Well, it's not. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which he brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people." No different than we do on Sunday mornings. We don't give it to him, we give it to her. If this was reading about us, it would say, "Give it to Stacy." And we take up the offering for the same reason they're taking it up. You'll see that. It's no different. And I say that for a reason. Please follow that line because it's important. It says, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work." Well, do we do any different? We have a treasurer. We have a board of trustees that keep up the grounds. And if they do something, they go to the treasurer and they say, "Write me a check." That's why we take up money here, folks, for God's house. And it ought not to be a burden to anyone to give to God's house. Enough said. "And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord," no different than us, "and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and buy timber and huge." Is that not what we're going to do here pretty soon at some point when we start this renovation that we're going to undertake? Is that not what we'll do? We'll have carpenters, right? I don't know if we'll have the others, but we'll have carpenters. Well, they say they're carpenters. Yeah, I'm just teasing. I'd put them up against anybody, I'll tell you that. No. Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money. No one was questioned. Why? We don't question it around here, do we? Who's watching over all of it, folks? They don't need me questioning. Now, we do have reports, and we should. Listen, it's when you give in money, you should know where the money goes. I've always been a big believer in that. Matter of fact, I'm pretty strict about it if you followed me over these years. I think we should keep an eye on where the money goes. But they weren't questioning it, and I don't question it. I don't ever ask Stacy how much do we take in on Sunday. That's not my business. I don't ask Stacy who gives. That's not my business. God's watching over all that. You say, Tom, what's this got to do with Revelation? Not one single thing. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made of them of the money that was delivered into their hand because God deals with faithfulness, folks. I don't. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe. Now we're going to get into the real problem, not the money. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, what does that tell you? They hadn't, bless God. I don't care how much money this church gives. If we're not into the book, we got trouble. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He doesn't mention one word about, hey, how much money we take in? When the word was read, he rent his clothes. It was a solemn matter to him. It was a serious thing. And here's why. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he read, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azariah the son of King, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achor and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tevah, the son of... Now I may not be pronouncing these correct. I'm trying to read fast. Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. And she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read, because they have forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Did you notice the difference there? He's talking to Judah, but he's the Lord God of Israel and Judah. All 12 tribes he's the God of. As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place And they brought the king word again. To anyone that's been listening, and I say that respectfully, I have for weeks now mentioned the wrath of God. The Bible's very clear as to what I'm to do. It says that I'm to cry aloud and spare not. It says that I'm to stand on the wall and blow the trumpet. It says that I am to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Not with myself. With this. But I can't come in here and do that. Unless prior to me coming in here and doing that, I have been in it and I have been humbled by it. And I know the certainty of it. The king, at a very young age, when he heard it, he believed it. He humbled himself. God rewarded that. But to those who didn't, his wrath would not be quenched. Look, if you will, at Psalms 91. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I... Let me just put that in just a few words for you. He's your protection. Don't be caught without Him. He's your protection. Surely, of a certainty, without question, no doubt, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome... Now, if you make notes in your Bible, beside that, I want you to put the word plague. The pestilence is the plague. Noisome. I want you to file that word. It means wicked, evil, hurtful. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be the shield and buckler. Isn't that what Josiah did? He took it as the truth. He believed it as the truth. And it caused an effect on him. It caused him to act. You can't say you believe it if it doesn't cause you to act. In James, we're getting introduced to it. It says it this way. Faith without works. If what you have doesn't create an action in you, you better check on what you think you've got. That's not me saying that. That's this saying that. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence. Give me a word. Plague. Nor for the plague that walketh in file that. Now this, look, I'm teaching Revelation 15 and 16 just as hard as I can. And you'll see if you follow with me. nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Billions, I've told you, will die. But the plague won't come nigh me, nor you, if you're under the shadow of his wings. If he's your protection. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It won't touch you, but you're going to see it. You say, Tom, I don't want to see it. Well, you're going to. You're going to see Satan punished. You're going to see his angels punished. You're going to see, bless God, all those that followed him punished. That's what it says. Now, I don't know about you. I don't have children. But I got a lot that's like my children. I don't want to have to stand there and watch it. So what should that cause us to do if we believe that? Starts with an A. If it don't cause action, maybe we ain't believing it. When he says, hey, you're going to see it. I don't know about you. That's sobering to me, folks. As they say, that's eye-opening. Not maybe on your level, but I've had a real bout with my eyes. They got me on drops and everything else. But you know, there's a song that says, he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any... Oh, now there's the word. Plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up on their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young and the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his... Hey, if you're the beloved of God, what's... shall lay anything to the elect of God? What have we got to fear? We're not given a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and a sound mind. Look, if you will, at John 3. Now everybody's familiar with John 3, aren't you? Because John 3 is John 3:16, right? And everybody knows about that. I'm like somebody else in this class. I can't hardly find where I'm going. John 3:36 says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, what does it say? Well, somebody sort of teach me about that now. What's that say? Somebody help me. You know, I try to help you. Would anybody want to try to help me? Well, now let's stick. Now, don't get off the track now. Shall not see life. Well, what does that mean, honey? No. What does that mean? He shall not see life. That's exactly what that means. Who do you think life is? If you don't believe him, you ain't going to see him. Remember, if you believe, it'll cause... action. He says, but if you refuse to believe, you won't see life. That's not the worst of it. That's bad enough to not see God, isn't it? That's bad enough not to see Christ. Remember, in Revelation it says, we shall see him face to face. But if you don't believe in him, you ain't going to see him face to face. You've just got one thing to look forward to. What's it say? What does it do, John? Well, no, it means in the verse, John. The wrath of God. You know what it means to abide, don't you? It's going to hang around. See, it's not like God's going to just give you his wrath one time, you know, nail you, and then that's it. No, when the wrath gets on you, it's going to stay on you. If I could use terrible English, it ain't going to leave you. That's sobering. Look, if you will, at Colossians chapter 1. And if you can't find it, just trust me to read it. She didn't even hear me. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to have to move that bag between y'all. Y'all can just scrooch up and read off hers. I'm going to read it. Never mind. I'm just one verse, so it won't matter. Well, actually, two verses. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us qualified. Meet means qualified or enabled. Who hath enabled us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then it says this. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now let me ask something. Paul is the writer of that. The Holy Spirit is the author of it. Moses was the author of Kings. The Holy Spirit was the author of it. David was the writer of Psalms 91. The Holy Spirit was the author of it. Now in Kings, it talked about something at the very end of the chapter. What was it talking about? Starts with a D, the next letter's E, the next letter's L, the next letter's I. Deliverance. Is that not what he said? Because you have done what you have done, Josiah, you won't see a thing what comes on them. I'll deliver you from it. Isn't that what he said to David? If you're under the shadow of his wing, you'll be delivered from the plague, the pestilence. Isn't that what he said in John? If you believe, you have everlasting life. No need to read any farther if you believe. But if you don't believe, you better read on. You won't see life. And the wrath of God. Anybody know what wrath means? Let me ask you. Anybody ever said anything like this? Man, he or she was so angry you could see smoke coming out their ears. Maybe Brenda can relate to that. I don't know how angry that is. I've been real angry. I've been so angry I cried. You ever been there?
Yes.
Yes. But I can't relate my anger, my wrath, my vengeance to God's. God's holy. God's righteous. Boy, when smoke comes out of his ears, it's not only bad, it's right. Huh? Well, here, Paul, being the writer and the Holy Spirit being the author, talks about another deliverance. And if you read the prior verses, you see who he's talking to. He's talking about the born-again children of God. You, he says, hath he delivered from the power of darkness. Look, if you will, at second, or maybe it's first. I'll know when I get there. Well, I'll know when I get there. First Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 10 there. I'm going to read a few verses prior to that. While you're looking, you can catch up. And ye became followers of us. But see, that wouldn't benefit them, would it? If, in other words, let me ask you this. If you were a follower of Dan Foster, would that benefit you? I mean, he's a wonderful pastor, and I say that, listen, he's my brother. But as far as pastors go, I'll put him up against anybody. And that's a biased statement, I get it. But following Dan Foster won't benefit you one thing, folks. You need to add the rest of it, and of the Lord. Now, if Dan's following the Lord, it's okay for me to follow Dan, because then I'm following the Lord. So that's what he says. He says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We see your actions. We see your acts. Remember what he said, that they may see our good works and do what? Thank you, honey, that she's my assistant for a reason. And glorify my Father which is in heaven. If you ain't acting, I know that's bad English, but I've only got a college guy in here. If you're not acting because of your faith in Christ, if the Holy Spirit inside you is not producing the actions, they're meaningless. But if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside, I guarantee you, you're going to act. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering into we had unto you, and how you turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God. Now that wouldn't be enough. I'm telling you right now, just to say, okay, I'm going to follow God, that's not enough, folks. That won't get you anywhere. That won't get you anywhere. That's religion. You got to read the rest. And it says this. I'll just help you. And to wait. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait. Wait for what? No, not for what. For who? And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead. Oh, he's spelling it out now. You could listen, you couldn't miss this if you had to. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's wonderful to know you're there. But he doesn't stop there. He says, which hath delivered. Now, I could ask Clay. He's a college guy. He's smart. I guarantee you he could answer this for me. The word delivered is in what tense, Clay? Past tense. And it means this in the Greek, an aorist tense. It means a past action with continuing results. In other words, he's delivered me February 1982 at a red light. He delivered me. And in January 2024, he is delivering me. And in July 2095, he is delivering me. Period. Well, delivered me from what? From the wrath. What's those two last words? What's the two last words? To come. Well, listen, if you believe he delivered you, you got to believe it's coming. Because if you don't believe it's coming, he didn't deliver you. Well, Josiah knew it was coming. Bless God, he humbled himself in sackcloth and ashes. When he heard it, he said, oh no, the wrath of God, we got to do something here. David, he believed it. But he said this, he's going to deliver me from the plague. The wrath's coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't care when. Because I'm delivered from it. Well, I got to go fast now. We're going to Revelation. You know where that is, don't you? That's the last book. Just go to the last book and start fiddling around. You get to 15, you'll be there. Go up first red light and turn right and just keep driving until you get there.
She don't drive.
She don't drive. All right. Now look, this is self-explanatory now. I don't need to go into all this in great detail. This is just as pure as what was it they say about the nose on your face? This is just as clear as the nose on your face. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now, it's not coming now. It's here. When John sees it, it ain't to come. It's come. It's too late now. It's like Noah. When you felt that first drop hit you on the head, it's too late. The wrath's here. The door's shut. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. They said, well, we'll call for the mountains and the hills to fall on us and to hide him from the from the wrath of the Lamb. It's here. And John knows it's here because he sees it. Remember he said, you'll see it. You'll see what happened to the wicked. Remember he said it. Well, if he says it, it's true. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had well, wait a minute. That ain't got nothing to do with wrath. The writer must have lost his track of thought or something, Sandy. The next few verses don't have anything to do with wrath. It's talking about a sea of glass mingled with fire. What is that? What is that? Oh, you say, Tom, I remember. I'm happy. I'm helping you remember. You say, oh, yeah, Tom, I remember. Back there in chapter 4, the throne room chapter, it says, and I saw before the throne a sea of glass. So when it says, and I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, where's he going to? Where's he taking you to? He's taking your thoughts now to the throne. Why? Well, let's read it and see. Remember what we talked about. Now, I've tried my best to lay it out for you. There's only one place to run, right? There's only one place that's safe, right? Well, he says, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having harps of gold. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What's going on here? No, what's going on? You better believe it, brother. He's getting ready to talk about the wrath of God being poured out, but he said, no, wait a minute. I don't want to do that till I encourage you. I want you to know for sure, when I've delivered you, this is where you're going to be. You ain't got anything to do with these plagues. You're blessed God around the throne. Under the shadow of his wing. It's safe. He's your protection. You're there. You say, no, Tom, it's talking about overcoming the beast. Well, how does it say they overcame? No, in chapter 12. It's in chapter 12. You remember, don't you? Jimmy remembers. He's trying to tell me, but I'll not make him do it.
Oh, it's about the woman.
Israel. No, it ain't got nothing to do with the woman. Oh. It says how they overcame. It's the same way we overcome, folks. He says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. In other words, he says, he that loseth his life for my sake shall gain it, but he that gaineth his life shall. That's how you overcome, folks. You overcome through the Lamb. And the reason he says they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, why is that? Why that? Think about it. Well, I started out in the Old Testament. Remember Josiah in chapter 22 of Kings, remember? And then I went to Psalms. That's in the Old Testament, right? They overcome the same way we do. Only they were told the Lamb would come. We were told the Lamb came. You overcome the same way, folks, by the blood of the Lamb. By the word of the testimony. What's the word testimony mean? Let's say they take you into court, Jimmy. They're taking you to court. You're a witness, Jimmy. You're going in and give a testimony. Now, what are you going to testify to? Huh? What you saw, what you heard. They don't ever ask you how you feel. Judge Jew says, I don't care how you feel. Well, that's not evidence. I'm going to read you something real quick. Won't take me to say, I don't want you to go there. I ain't got time for you to go there. I'll tell you where it's at. You just hang loose. It's in chapter 5, verse 10 of 1 John. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness, the testimony in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, the testimony, the evidence that God gave of his Son. Example. Here's a blind man. Can't see. God says, I'm going to put mud on your eyes. You go to the pool of Siloam and you wash, and guess what will happen? You can see. Here's a lame man lying at the pool. You want to be made whole, he said? I have no man to get me in, for when I get close, somebody else is already in. My words. Jesus said, well, I'm the pool. What are you worried about the pool for? Rise up and walk. You know what he did? Bless God, he rose up and walked. Listen, if that's not evidence that Jesus was God, what are you going to do? You say, but Tom, I didn't see that. Well, bless God, you ought to see it. Huh? I can see it. You know why I can see it? Because it's right here in front of me. He says, if you won't believe the words that I say, believe the works that I do. What are they? They're evidence. Verse 5. Oh no, verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy? Remember I told you about the King of Saints and how some translations have it King of Nations, and I said, well, that wouldn't make sense. Well, that's the reason it doesn't make sense to me, because he's talking about his holiness. Well, saints means holy. But then notice what he says. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, thou, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Is that true? Well, sure it's true, because he says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Well, what do you do when you stand before the judge? Bless God. Listen, either you can confess or the jury will find you guilty. And then comes the sentence. But isn't it much better if you go before the judge, confess your wrong, and cast yourself on the... He says, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, folks, if you don't see your time of need without Christ, you're in trouble. So he says, I'm moving on now. I've got to read fast. And after that I look, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testament. In heaven was open. You remember the tabernacle. It was made after the pattern of this tabernacle. Remember? He said, now listen, it's got to be exactly this way. And that's how it was. So he said, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothing pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girths. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven. Now where's the four beasts come from? Where are they? They're around the throne. So where's this word coming from? It's coming from the throne. Who sits on the throne? You're getting it now. And seven angels, golden vials, full of the wrath of God. Now, a vial. I don't have my little nurse in here. Do I have a little nurse in here anywhere? Anybody know anything about medical? Laboratory? Anybody work in a laboratory? You know what a vial is, don't you? About that big. And most of them are about that big around. You know, you've seen them take blood, haven't you? They pull that blood into a vial. But that's important, because it only takes that much of God's anger, of his wrath. Imagine if he just poured it all out on us. Oh, he says even the elect couldn't survive that, in Matthew, by the way. And he says, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple. The seven last plagues, seven angels were fulfilled. Here's what that's saying. No intercession. No prayers. No mercy. It's done now. It's over. No need to come in here and pray for somebody. No need to come in here and try to intercede for someone. No need to come in here and ask for mercy. Remember what he said? Come boldly before the throne that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That time's over now. The throne room is closed. No admittance. As a tree falleth, so shall it. It's over now. It's done. That's sobering, folks. This is a solemn time. You remember the other time there was silence in heaven about the space of 30 minutes? And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of earth, God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. Remember I gave you that word in Psalms? Noisome and grievous. It comes from a root word which means evil. God is saying this, in my opinion, not teaching it. You can form your own. God's saying this, okay. I'm going to show you how ugly and painful sin really is. I'm going to show you what I've had to look at. God is of pure eyes and to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity because of its ugliness and its painfulness. And he says, and he poured out his vial and there was. And what it means is as soon as he poured it out, there was. It's not like, boy, I noticed a little place on my arm here starting to, no. You will be full of grievous, painful, hurtful ulcers. Not only that, he says, on all them that took the mark, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Imagine that, if you will. Imagine everything. The earth is two-thirds water, bless God. Imagine everything in the sea dead. Well, if it's dead, where do you think it's coming to? Where do you think it'll end up? On the shore. And what do you think's going to happen when it starts decaying? If you think anybody ever been over to Canton, North Carolina? You get about 10 miles from it, you'll know you're close to it. You'll get in the middle of it, you'll wish you was out of it. I say that respectfully. That they have a big tannery over there and a wood thing, something they do with wood. But the smell is awful. Well, folks, if you don't think all the dead sea people, things in the seas dead is going to cause a stench, oh, God, I got to hurry. And I heard the angel of the waters, Noah, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountain waters, and they became blood. Well, wait a minute now. We ain't got no water to drink. Nothing. And then he goes on to say, Lord, you're right to do this. And then he comes down to verse 7. He says, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. My opinion, I'm entitled to it. You can form your own. I think what God does is just move the sun just a touch closer. You're finally going to get that global warming. So what? Now get the picture here. You're in pain over your ulcers. You can't stand the smell. You're thirsty. And now all of a sudden you're burning up from the sun. Sound like a nice place to be? Sounds like hell to me. Oh, it is. Oh, it is. It's just a little bit of preview of hell, bless God. Hell is painful. Hell stinks. If you don't think hell stinks, just burn some flesh and see if it smells. Hell is a place of thirst. Just ask the rich man. He said, just one drop's all I need. I'm tormented in these flames. I'm done. Come on. See you next week.